Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M. and I am gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And today is Tuesday, July 26th. And today we are reading from the Big Book on page 18, the first paragraph. And today's readers are Mo H., Barbara W., and Lorraine N. The share ID for Monday, July 25th, 10 a.m. meeting is 19,219. And the share ID for Tuesday, July 26th, 7 a.m. meeting is 19,222. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Gail K. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Gail K., a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, and thank you for your service, Sherry. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, as found on page 59 in the Big Book. 1. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Gail. And I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Thank you, Sherry, for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida. Presently at the Blue Angel campground and praying the rain won't knock out my phone service. The 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating addictively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, our OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, OA should never to remain forever a non-professional, but service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as a whole ought never be organized, but may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, OA has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service in the month of July, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're in the chapter, There is a Solution, and we are on page 18, the first paragraph only, and I will ask Mo H. to begin reading this for us. Thanks, Mo.
Yeah, you're welcome, Sherry. Thanks for your service. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict, grateful to be of service this morning. An illness of this sort, and we have come to believe it an illness, involves those about us in a way no other human sickness can. If a person has cancer, all are sorry for him, and no one is angry or hurt. But not so with the alcoholic illness, for with it there goes annihilation of all the things worthwhile in life. It engulfs all whose lives touch the sufferers. It brings misunderstanding, fierce resentment, financial insecurity, disgusted friends and employers, warped lives of blameless children, sad wives and parents. Anyone can increase the list. And again, my name is Mo H., and a recovered compulsive eater from Northern California. So the first thing that comes to mind in reading this chapter, which is titled There is a Solution, Only One, Not Many, which I thought in my former eating days there were many solutions like this diet, that diet. I never knew that I had an illness. I always thought that there was something wrong with me. I would be told that I didn't have any willpower and I needed to just get willpower. So after being in the rooms for a while, and I came to believe that, yes, I did have this disease, this illness, such as a person having cancer, and there is a solution if I follow it by reading this book, following the 12 steps, etc., having a sponsor, having sponsees, etc. But the other words that jump out at me is annihilation. And what that means is destroy, destruct, or obliteration. And for me, it was every dream and aspiration that I had was destroyed by all the food I ate. And the way it was destroyed was I didn't lose my husband, I didn't lose my children, but I wasn't present for them. I'm discovering today in being abstinent that I get distracted really easy when someone is talking to me, but I notice it now in being abstinent and having clarity of thought and clarity of connection. But when I was in the food, I wasn't there. People were talking to me. My children were talking to me. And I wasn't really 100% present. And I just am so grateful to have this program because it helps me understand my own character defects. And the other word that jumps out at me is engulfs. And what engulf means is to sweep over or surround or cover it. And that's exactly what the disease did. Besides putting it on my body and filling out, you know, my clothes till where they were so tight I had to buy new ones. But it swept over me in many other ways. You know, some days I'd be driving and I was lost. I was lost in thought and or you know, where could I get the food and how can I eat it before anybody sees me and sneaking around with all of that. So just this is a great paragraph, they all are, but you know, it just helps me understand my disease a little bit more. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Mo. Appreciate you getting us started there. And before I take a lineup, I want to remind everyone that although we value your experience, this is a very large meeting. And so we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, we ask that you wait until tomorrow to raise your hand, virtual hand. So if anybody would like to share today, please give me your name and where you're from.
Debbie P. from Indiana.
Jane from Massachusetts.
Deb E. from Israel.
Barbara G. from France.
Okay, well, I heard all four names so far, Debbie P., Jane, Debbie, Barbara G. Anyone else want to be added to this lineup?
Trisha P.
I think that was a Trisha P. It's very faint, so you might want to turn your volume up. Anyone else? Okay, let's get started with this lineup. Go ahead, Debbie P.
Good morning. My name is Debbie P. I'm calling from Indiana. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I love this paragraph, and I love the opening that I heard. For me, I always use the excuse that my consequences were not that dire. I could eat a donut and not get a DUI, and you know, I had not lost a job because of my eating. I still had minimal friends. I still had a marriage. But what I come to realize is even though I had a marriage, it just was not happy. I don't really have a lot of friends that I keep in contact with on a regular basis. And even though I don't get DUIs from eating donuts, I have other consequences. And it took me a while to realize that those consequences are more subtle, but they're painful. They're inside. They are, I guess, dire. And I have affected everybody around me the same as what this describes as far as an alcoholic. I had disgusted friends, employers, family members, and people would not come visit me because they didn't know which Debbie they were going to get. But I started to see through coming around the program, not so much vision at first, but just coming through the program, attending meetings and listening to other people that, I have affected other people in the same way that alcoholics affect their family members. And especially my husband, he took the brunt end of most of my anger and depression. And you know, come to find out, I was really miserable and I was depressed and I just didn't know all those things, full of anxiety. And I just kept coming back. You all told me, just keep coming back. And by doing that, I got clarity. Today, I am almost 6 months recovered. And I have this cleanness within myself that I don't think I've ever felt in my life. It's almost like I have no resentments. I never thought that I'd ever feel no resentments. So anyway, I appreciate this reminder that I don't want to go back there. So I keep doing this program one day at a time, one foot in front of the other, and baby steps some days. I guess some days it's backwards and some days it's forward. But anyway, thank you all for being here. And I appreciate all the shares, everybody, their support, and the service that everybody is supplying today. I pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. And Jane is up next from Massachusetts. Go ahead, Jane.
Hi, I'm Jane from Massachusetts. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. I was really touched by the reading. For years, I've always felt like alcoholism, like a food addiction, was something to be ashamed of, and that I always thought there was something wrong with me because everyone else could have any kind of illness, it seemed, except, you know, alcoholism or food addiction or drug addiction of some kind, and they could have cancer, they could have all kinds of things, and people would comfort them and, you know, feel sorry for them and encourage them. But when it came to my eating, people would just say to me, well, why don't you just stop, or can't you just stop at one thing? And I'm a sugar addict, so I can't just stop at one. You know, again, I'm a food addict too, so I can't just stop certain foods, because once I start eating them, I want more and more of them. So, and I don't think that's anything to be ashamed of anymore, because I'm taking care of my disease now. I'm following a lot of the things in OA. I got a new sponsor after Christmas this past year, and I've been doing really, really well. I've lost about 25 pounds. Not that it's just a weight loss program, but it does help. And I just think that it's like I waited for the miracle to happen, and it's happened. And I know it's a daily reprieve, each day, one day at a time. I don't have a lifetime guarantee of being cured, but one day at a time, following the steps, following the things that we learn in OA, and working closely with my sponsor, being honest. That's what I really want to do, and I really want, and I use the gifts, the tools of writing, and the tool of writing to me is very helpful, and I just think all the tools are helpful and the steps are helpful, and I'm just so glad I'm doing better. And I want to tell everyone that it seems like they want to give up, don't give up, keep coming back and wait for the miracle to happen. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Jane. Deb E. is up next, followed by Barbara G. Go ahead, Deb.
Hi, thanks. This is Debbie, a recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. The word illness stuck out at me first, just because for years, I took this very seriously. I knew it was a really big problem in my life, and I followed the instructions in the big book as best I could, and still do. You know, I got all the gifts and the miracles of the program, but deep down, I wasn't convinced it was an illness. I just, that there was something about calling it an illness that I had trouble with reconciling in my mind. And thankfully, I did take it very seriously, and I did all the work, and that's why I got the miracles I got. But it took me a while to admit that it was an illness, and I think of it as a chronic illness. You know, it's one that I can get a daily reprieve from, but it's never going to go away. There's never a cure. I think part of it was I felt like I wouldn't, it's like it talks about it here, right? People will feel for someone right away if they have cancer, but this just seems like it's not. In my opinion, I feel like eating disorders are not taken as seriously as they should be, just out in the general in the world. And for me, like, it helped. I have a chronic illness. Thankfully, it's very manageable. I have an autoimmune disease that I'm able to manage through a very like particular diet that works really well with my abstinence, but I noticed a difference in people when I'd say like, oh, well, I'm on a medical diet, so I can't eat this, as opposed to I don't eat sugar, you know, which people just like look at me and kind of go like, just give me this look like, oh, you're just like trying to lose weight when you don't need to, or some kind of, you know, impression like that. And so it was really helpful for me to finally look at it as an illness, and that there is, you know, I knew there was no cure. That part I didn't have a problem with, but just the word illness. And it engulfs all, you know, I think I didn't understand the depth of that all along again. Like I just, you know, I went through all the actions, but the gravity of what I'm reduced to, if I'm in the food, you know, without the constant contact, my higher power, and working the steps on a regular basis, I'm reduced to my character defects. And that's not a good way for me to live, and it hurts the people around me. And although I had a certain understanding of it, I feel like I got a deeper understanding of it more recently. And for me, that's just part of how this like program of recovery just keeps, like I keep understanding things more and more on a deeper and deeper level. I heard that. Thank you. So I'll pass.
Yes. Thanks so much, Deb. Barbara G., you're up next, followed by Tricia P.
Hi, my name is Barbara G., and I'm a recovered compulsive reader calling from France. Very grateful for these paragraphs and to be here. It is an occasion for me to reflect on how hard it is, not just for me as a compulsive reader to understand that this is the disease, but also how even harder it is for those who do not have this disease to understand that it is one, and it is a serious one. And the reason I'm saying this is because I was having a conversation a couple of days ago with someone who is not a compulsive reader, and I could see in this person's eyes the curiosity and the astonishment regarding the description I was giving of what it means to be a compulsive reader. It's just so hard to understand. And nevertheless, if I think of how hard it's been to understand for myself that I had this disease, it makes it easier to be compassionate and understanding towards all those who do not grasp how serious and deadly this disease is. Personally, it took me 18 years in OA, and it took me to destroy my life and to do all the things and to experience all the things that are very well described in this paragraph today, the annihilation of all my dreams, of all my ambitions, of all I wanted in life, and also the annihilation and the destruction of all my dearest relationships. I had to go through that to understand that food addiction is a deadly disease. And as someone said before, there is one only solution, and it is drastic. But it's I will never understand that if I don't conceive to my innermost self that I am totally, totally powerless towards food. And it's really interesting to see how can I how can I ask other people to understand when I am the first one not to understand it thoroughly until the moment comes. And so I want to share my gratitude to have this insight today of understanding and compassion for those outside of these rooms, or also for those who are not compulsive readers and who don't understand what this disease is made of, and also the gratitude for being one and for having this understanding, because it also makes me more compassionate with all those who have this disease like me, because it's a serious one and it's baffling and powerful. And I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Barbara G. Tricia P. is up next. And before we take Tricia, I just want to let everyone know, if you've joined us after we started, where we're at today. We are reading on page 18, and there is a solution, and we have read that first paragraph only, discussing that this is an illness of this sort. So grab your big books. After Tricia P., I will be taking another lineup. Go ahead, Tricia. We can't hear you, Tricia.
Okay, I'll have to wait till a Friday to come through, okay?
Okay, yeah, try back again. Maybe it's your headset or something. All right, thanks, Tricia. All right, have a blessed day. All right, I will be taking another lineup, and before I do that, just a friendly reminder that we have a very large meeting here. And although we really want to hear from everybody because we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you've shared on Monday or Friday, please hold off until another day this week. Please give me your names and I'll take a lineup.
Jen Z.
Jen Z.
Amy W.
Amy W.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. That's what I knew. It was someone in between Jen. So I have Jen Z, Jordan L, Amy W.
Sarah from New York.
Sarah from New York. And who came in with Sarah?
Taisia S.
Taisia, I think I'm pronouncing it right. Okay.
Yes.
How about one more, and then we'll start the lineup.
Robin Jill B.
I think I heard Robin and Robin Jill B. And there was someone right before you, John. Robin. Okay. I have Jen, Jordan, Amy, Sarah, Taisia, and Robin. Anyone else? Sorry if I didn't hear your name. Okay, let's start with this lineup, and if there's time, I'll ask for more at the end. Go ahead, Jen Z.
Hi, my name is Jen. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia. I'm calling from East Los Angeles, California. It's really good to be on the meeting today. I just wanted to share, you know, the word illness jumped out at me, and I was thinking to myself, you know what? I have diabetes, and that's an illness. And you know, when the doctor told me I was diabetic, they prescribed me medication. They gave me insulin, you know, and I took it. And I did what the doctor told me. And, you know, it's the same with the program. I have a disease. I have an illness. And the steps and the program and the tools and all that stuff is my medicine. And I need to take it on a daily basis to control, you know, to manage my disease. And you know, it just drawing that parallel, you know, it's like when I got diabetes, you know, they're like, this is what you need to do. And I did it. So why should it be any different with compulsive eating? You know, and I know this program works because I've seen it in people and I come to this meeting and I see it every day. And, you know, I want the promises and I don't have them yet, but I'm working toward it. You know, I'm using my tools. I'm doing the best that I can. And I like to say that I need to, I don't want to beat myself up, but I want to hold myself accountable, you know, for my actions, especially with food, but with other things too, you know, just working the steps in my life. I'm on the fourth step right now. And, you know, that's part of my medicine and I got to take it. And anyway, I just wanted to share that thought. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jen. Jordan L. is next, followed by Amy. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, thanks for moderating, Priya Sherry. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. This, holy smokes, man, I was thinking about this paragraph yesterday morning. It like popped into my head, and I'm not really sure why, other than it's a really important paragraph. This is like the so they're introducing the solution here, right? And I gotta say, like, one of the most important things that I grasped in 2017 when I came into OA for the third time, that I hadn't gotten the first two times around, was this, that this is an illness, that it's just as with cancer, there's nothing that I did to deserve this. There's no fault of mine to feel guilty about. And I don't need to be ashamed anymore. And that was, God, that, like, not only was that really hard to grasp, but when I, like, internalized that and I understood that shame was not going to serve me, that shame was, like, the tool that had been used by countless individuals and society itself to try to get me in line, get me to lose some weight, that it was ineffective. And you know what I'm most grateful for? I'm most grateful that the people, particularly in this meeting, understood that. That they weren't trying to convince me of anything. They weren't trying to talk me into anything. They were simply sharing their own experience with this disease and their own experience around getting abstinent. And that message of depth and weight was effective, far more effective than shame ever was, and continues to be to this day. It continues to be the reason that I get on this meeting almost every single morning. And the other thing I want to say that I heard recently that really stuck out to me, although this disease is not my fault, it is very much my responsibility, that when I have a clear understanding of the true nature of my problem, that I do something about it. And what I can tell you is the action involved in this program has been effective for me. And so it's very much possible for it to be effective for you as well. Thank you for letting me share. That's all I have.
Thanks, Jordan. Amy W. is up next, followed by Sarah. Go ahead, Amy.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Sherry, for your service today. I'm so grateful to be here with you all. My name's Amy W., and I'm from California. Yet illness struck me this morning, too, illness. And I just looked it up, and it said a disease affecting the body or mind. And we have a disease that affects the body and the mind. It took me a while to understand that, but if I didn't understand my problem, I certainly wasn't going to get my solution. But learning that I had a disease that affected body, allergy of the body and mind, obsession of the mind, and that was going to create or did create a situation where I wasn't going to be able to spring from it from my own self, ever. I had tried for decades to do that, very painfully. And so I'm so grateful because it's in this meeting vision that I learned what my problem was, that it was the cycle that I could not get myself out of. No diet, no doctor, no geographic cure, no career change, nothing, no promotion, nothing. So I'm so grateful to know this. And it did take me a little while to understand, too, what allergy of the body meant, because I was like, well, I don't, at first, you know, I don't have, you know, welts and my throat doesn't close up and I don't carry around an EpiPen and I'm not, but it was an abnormal reaction that I could relate to. I knew I had an abnormal reaction because I could never stop. Other things I could stop, but not this. I could say in my mind, I'll stop Monday. I'll stop on an even day. I'll stop after this event. I'll stop on a holiday, after the holiday, rather. I knew that was trickery. I knew in my heart of hearts, as nerd, that might not be the day I stop because I couldn't. So it's just, what a blessing that we understand our problem and that we also have a solution. And lastly, I learned we have an illness that we are guaranteed a treatment from if we work the steps. Not a cure, but if we have, my mom, unfortunately, she's okay, but had cancer, right? We couldn't guarantee that the chemo and the radiation was going to work. But we have the steps that we can be recovered if we work these steps, and it's broad and roomy and available to all of us. So I just thank everyone today. I just love this meeting and being here with you all, and thanks again, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Amy. And next up is Sarah, followed by Taisia.
Good morning, everybody. This is Sarah, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater and anorexic from New York City, New York, New York. You can hear me, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you. This really struck me. I've been affected by both sides of this disease. I first was, I kind of binged when I was younger, but I was affected seriously by anorexia in the 70s before it was a real known as an illness. And that brought me to it really made me sick, but I didn't think so because I thought the thinner I was, the better. I was looking for perfection. If I looked perfect, my life would be perfect. So fast forward after like a year of that and life was not perfect. Actually, life got pretty imperfect or pretty bad. I flipped and I ate addictively. I ate destructively. There was no thought. There was no recognition of taste. I did a lot of crazy things, eating out of the freezer. At times, my finger still feels frozen today if I touch something cold. I mean, I think, you know, it's horrible. It was really horrible. I had to take a pause from college to focus on my abstinence. But you know what? I guess I had to hit that bottom. I mean, I did not see food or eating as a pleasurable event ever, probably because I was always, you know, going anorexic. And then I went the other way to compulsively overeat. So when I came in and joined the Westminster group way back, the weighing and measuring like was okay by me because I kind of, you know, used to watching what I ate, but it was like taming the demon. And to stick to the paragraph, I have to say my family was like at wit's end when I was anorexic. There was no compassion either. It was like, what is happening? And there was a lot of, I guess, shame was a word I've heard this morning, and not support. And then when I was compulsively overeating, they were like aghast. So I related to this paragraph so much because like the alcoholic, I felt shunned. I felt misunderstood. I didn't even know myself. I didn't even understand what was going on myself. So it really took me a while, but I had to go through the school of very hard knocks to understand this is a disease. Like how could food be an illness? How could this be a disease? But it is. And I've been blessed with long-term abstinence, but I feel like I had to go through hell to get here. And I love visions. I discovered it during the pandemic. And I love combining the big book and the teachings of AA with OA. It's just fabulous. It's really, really wonderful, and I so enjoy being on these calls. So thank you all so much for your service.
Thank you so much, Sarah. And next up is Taisia. Star one to unmute Taisia. I think I got the name right.
Hi, sorry, I didn't realize I was still muted. Good morning, Taisia S., compulsive overeater. It's my first time sharing, and I'm a little nervous, but I'm so excited to finally share an illness of this sort, and we have come to believe it an illness. You know, when I came here, it was very easy for me to believe I was physically sick. you know, I knew that I was overweight and I could not stop eating. But I think the mental part of this was not really clear to me until I had a relapse over, you know, over a year ago. I had picked up the first bite. And what I realize now is I get sick mentally, just like I have a friend that's bipolar, and I also have a friend that's schizophrenic. And when they start getting episodes, when one of them stops taking their medicine, you know, or has her medicine adjusted, like she starts getting crazy and she doesn't even realize that she's crazy. She starts getting delusional and I start getting delusional. I have this mental illness and I don't know what it's like for anybody else, but I start getting delusional and I start getting crazy long before I pick up the first bite. I used to think just, you know, about the physical allergy part that, yeah, I'm addicted to certain foods and I can't eat them. I did not realize that I was, you know, like crazy and that my delusion will start telling my ego, will start telling me all of these things and when I pull away from the program. And next thing you know, I start, you know, running the show and, you know, taking bites here and there, not telling anyone and being dishonest. And what happened for me is I didn't pick up the foods I don't eat. It took, you know, months before I did that, but I was crazy already. And the more I kept picking it, when I finally did pick up, it was even worse, but it took me over a year. And I'm so, so grateful that one of my friends turned me on to the vision meetings and that I was able to come here and find a sponsor and start working the steps, because I could not get better. I was in a program where they, you know, didn't eat no matter what, but I couldn't stop. I had, you know, picked up and I could not stop. And I needed the medicine of this book and the structure of the fellowship of doing all the things that we do in order to get better. And it took a long time. And now I realize, like, oh my God, I was so crazy. I'm still a little crazy. I'm still just, you know, recovering. I haven't been recovered yet, but I'm still recovering. But I'm so happy to be in the middle and start and, you know, asking God every day to please just remove it and allow me to be willing to not be crazy and listen to what everyone tells me to do. So thank you very much for letting me share. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks so much. Kayusia, we're so glad that you shared today. And next up is Robin. And if we have time after Robin, Joe P., then I will get another name. Go ahead, Robin.
Hey, thank you so much. Robin Joe P. from Missouri here, recovering. I'm so very, very grateful for the program. Been here since 2010 and don't know. I learn something new every day. It's just crazy. I do see program as medicine. I see my food scale as medicine. My garden is medicine. And just, you know, for years I prayed for one person to go through this with me. That's all I needed was one person to commit to doing this deal with me, for one person or somebody to help me put together what to eat, you know. And I had God. And now look how blessed I am. I've got thousands of people all across the world. I've got a food plan and it's being tweaked and I'm feeling more neutral now than I have in forever, and I'm so thankful for that. But I remember here several years ago being in the hospital with my dad, who was hooked up to chemo, and, you know, I sat with him for 8 hours and watched him have his chemo along with several other people all in the same room of this great big huge hospital, and then I snuck out to the vehicle to eat my abstinent, weighed and measured food. And I can remember feeling the shame of that, you know, and thinking their dad is in there and he's getting all this attention for his disease. And here I am out here hiding because I don't want people to see me eating this silly food that I choose to eat, that, you know, when you have all this junk food there in the hospital that everybody else is eating. But it's all good. It's all good. And I am so thankful we've got my mother-in-law home on hospice now with brain cancer. And with if I didn't have these years of program under my belt, I just don't know how I'd be handling stuff. I lost my twin brother a few months ago. I turned 56 without him, and it's the hardest thing I've ever done. And, God is good, and my afflictions are good for me, and they have taught me more about life, and I am grateful. I am very grateful to be recovering anorexic, bulimic, compulsive eater, all of the everything. I am grateful for every single bit of it because it has drawn me closer to God and has helped me get through every relationship better. And I'm just thankful for all of y'all. And that's it. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Robin, for sharing. We have time for about a minute and a half share. Who would like to take that?
This is Judy J. from Illinois. May I share?
Yes, please. Go ahead and close us out. Thank you.
This is Judy with an I, J, from Illinois, a compulsive overeater. We have come to believe it's not a quick understanding. It wasn't for me. Maybe it is for others. But that statement took the shame out of what I was carrying because I was a compulsive overeater. One thing for me that finally made me accept the term that I have an illness was we have two genetic problems, or not problems, genetic instances in our family. And we were going through genetic testing, and I remember coming back from the hospital after we'd gone through some tests, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, that's what I have. Whether I got it genetically or environmentally, the disease, that's what I have. It was like a light bulb went off in the car for me. And it's just like I accepted it. So the latter part of the paragraph talks about what my behaviors have done. It separates me from actually diagnosing as far as an illness goes. My behaviors, that's what I work on. My medicine is my food plan, but the steps are how I clean house. And I'm just so grateful for that knowledge that came. And for all of you, so that I can understand that diagnosis of having an illness. And thank you all. Thanks for all the shares. It's just been a wonderful meeting. Thank you.
I agree. Thank you so much for closing us out, and thank you to everybody. And I want to give a special thank you for everyone who was Team Tuesday for the month of July. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Barbara W. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. Barbara W. here, recovered in Washington State. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.